Today on Family Talk.
But jealousy kills and eats away at the soul. One should be aware of the possibility of it getting into any of us. One of the ways you control it is to admit that it's there. When I say it's the sin nobody talks about, we don't want to admit to it, and we say, that's surely not me. And the scary thing about jealousy, we can always see it in somebody else, but never in ourselves.
You are listening to Family Talk, the radio ministry of the James Dobson Family Institute. I'm Roger Marsh, along with your host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. The voice you just heard was that of our guest today, Dr. R.T. Kendall. In just a moment, Dr. Kendall and Dr. Dobson will conclude their discussion that began on yesterday's program, the subject, jealousy. As we said last time, jealousy is a deep-seated sin that destroys a person's character and relationships. On today's broadcast, Dr. Kendall will honestly share about a time when he was jealous of a fellow colleague. Dr. Kendall and Dr. Dobson will also examine the various biblical characters who struggled with envy and covetousness. Now, what you're about to hear is a pretty practical, nuts and bolts kind of program that's bound to have an impact on everyone listening today. But before you hear part two of this interview, let me tell you a little bit more about Dr. R.T. Kendall. He's a respected evangelist, theologian, and a prolific author with over 60 books now in print. He also served as senior minister at Westminster Chapel for over 25 years. Dr. Kendall holds his doctorate in divinity, a master's in divinity, and also a PhD from Oxford University. Now, as we begin today's broadcast, we're going to roll back a little bit and give you a chance to review a portion of what we heard on our last program. So here now is Dr. R.T. Kendall to begin this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
King Saul was an example of what I call yesterday's man. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing that I have rejected him as king over Israel?" And what happened was that King Saul put himself above the word of God, and he was supposed to wait for Samuel to come and offer the burnt offerings. But he got tired, and Samuel was late for some reason, and he says, "Bring me the burnt offerings." He didn't like it that he would have to wait for Samuel to do that. He thought, "I'm king, aren't I? Why can't I offer the burnt offerings?" But it went right against explicit scripture that only the man called of God can do that. And he lost the anointing of the Spirit upon him. Even though the anointing was lifted from him, he was still king and lived for another 20 years. Some years ago, an Episcopal rector shocked his denomination by stating, quote, "If the Holy Spirit were completely taken from the church today, 90% of the work of the church would go right on as if nothing happened." Hmm. Well, that can happen to an individual. And what happened is that King Saul was left with his jealousy. He first was jealous of Samuel, that he had to wait for Samuel to offer the burnt offerings. And then after David was so popular with the people, he was jealous of David. And you know, I hate to say it, but there are ministries today where they spend their time running down people, warning about this person or that person, and not wanting to bring glory to God, and it is sheer jealousy.
One message I take from the illustration you just gave of Saul and David and Saul and Samuel is that the anointing of God actually left him. Mm-hmm. You can actually so offend God that what he had intended for you to do is no longer relevant.
It's what it became King Saul's obsession. And I wouldn't want to give a guilt trip to anybody listening right now to say if you have a problem with jealousy, that means you're yesterday's man or woman. But I would say be very concerned when you find yourself threatened by a person, that you obsess on them. It's not a good sign.
When you think about it, the God of the universe looked over all of Israel and selected Saul, and yet he threw it all away over something so petty as jealousy. I mean, he already had all the ego support that a person could want or need, being king, having all of the benefits thereof, And yet it wasn't enough for him.
You might like to know that the person who put me in Westminster Chapel, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, used to say to me, the worst thing that can happen to a man is to succeed before he's ready.
Mm.
And this was the problem with King Saul. You see, Israel demanded a king. God says, you don't need a king. I'm your king. Oh, we want a king like other nations. And so God gave him a king and got him the best that there was, and that was Saul.
Be careful what you pray for. Right?
Yes. And yet, you see, he succeeded before he was ready and as a result became so insecure and let a 17-year-old teenager, David, become such a threat to him that he lost his head.
Well, Dr. R.T. Kendall was our guest last time, and I'm delighted to say that he's back with us again today to discuss this new book, Jealousy, the Sin No One Talks About. Last time, we delved into this topic of jealousy and envy, which can truly destroy families and dismantle friendships. Perhaps more ominously, God identifies it as sin. Sin is something that displeases God. It's offensive to him. It violates his moral law. And in the introduction of our program last time, we called jealousy a worm or a termite that gnaws away at human relationships. And that's the point at which we want to begin today, because specifically, we want to talk about the examples from Scripture where godly men of the Old Testament, the patriarchs of the Bible, became embittered and resentful of one another. And reading those stories will tell us a lot about ourselves. RT, it's so good to have you back. Man, you're onto something here. This is really good. At the end of the program last time, I told you I was going to start today's broadcast by asking you if you've ever had a problem with jealousy, and if so, what was it? In fact, you admitted it right in the beginning of the book.
Well, there are many. One is seeing preachers with pulpits that I thought I will never get to, and I would be jealous that they would succeed. But a story I tell in the book, and I do have his permission. I don't know if you know who Richard Land is.
I was with him last weekend.
Okay,
yes.
Well, Richard and I were at Oxford at the same time. We both have the same degree, DPhil, Doctor of Philosophy, and we were both at Oxford at the same time. Well, I stay in England. He comes back to America. And one day, I turn on the radio on Sunday morning, and there is Richard Land on Meet the Press. I said, Louise, look who's on Meet the Press. And oh, inside of me, I thought, oh, I'll never be on Meet the Press. How could Richard get that far? But you see, that's the way God has used him. And God put me in Westminster Chapel, and I am limited to that sphere. And I've got to accept that God can exalt whom he will. But I found myself feeling very jealous of my friend Richard Land.
Now, who would have believed that, RT? Because you're one of the most gifted people I know. You've written more than 50 books, and you've accomplished so much. And here you are at this stage of your life. You're speaking all over the world, literally. God is using you. And how petty to look at somebody else and say, I can't do that. I mean, that illustrates just how insidious this emotion is.
I think we all fight it, and we need to talk about it. Instead of sweeping the dirt under the carpet, just agree with Jeremiah, who said, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I think, well, at least one other person understands me, because that's me. And so I see it myself far more than I care really to talk about.
I had an attorney tell me one time, I never forgot it, that you would not believe how family members fight over a vase, a clock, or a ring or just some minor something that has been willed to a sibling, a brother or sister, and they get angry and they attack each other and try to diminish their sense of worth. The way he described it gave me a sense of the wickedness that dwells within us.
Well, it's what brought about the first murder in the Bible when Cain killed his brother Abel. He was jealous that God preferred the sacrifice of Abel when he brought the offering, and Cain couldn't cope with that and killed his brother. And we've been killing our brothers and sisters ever since. God gave Cain a second chance and says, you know, look, do it. Here's your chance. Go ahead. And he wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't do it. He wanted to be accepted as he was and wouldn't do it God's way. One of the classic examples is the rivalry between Leah and Rachel.
Yeah.
Now, you see, God made Rachel beautiful. And we're told that Leah had weak eyes. I think it's just an expression that means she was very, very plain. Well, Jacob preferred Rachel and thought he was marrying Rachel, and then he wakes up one day and he's got Leah. All right. How Leah coped. The first time she had a baby and Rachel was barren, Leah said, well, now my husband will love me.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And then she has another one. This time he will love me. But he doesn't. The third time, you know what she said?
Mm-hmm.
I will just praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's where she was blessed. And I think we learn a lot from that. If we can just praise God and say, Lord, you had a reason for this, and I will love you anyway.
And so the Lord gave Rachel beauty, and he gave Leah productivity and the ability to have children.
And you know what? Jacob never appreciated Leah.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you the interesting thing. Leah did more for the future kingdom of God than Rachel did. Leah is the one that had Judah, from whom Messiah came, tribe of Levi, from which we have the priesthood, the book of Leviticus, from Leah. And so it just goes to show that though there's reason, or at least we think there's reason to be jealous, at the end of the day, God has a purpose in that. Leah is the one who gets vindicated. And this is why I admire Leah so much. She gave up on trying to win her husband over and just decided to draw closer to God. And that's where she got her joy.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Jacob. You talk about the imperfect parent. You could say the worst parent described in the Bible was Jacob, showing favoritism by giving Joseph that coat of many colors,
mm-hmm.
and it made his brothers jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Then look how God used all that, and one day Joseph is exalted, and the brothers come to him and bow down before him.
Yeah, but Joseph really exacerbated the anger because he went out and bragged about it.
Well, the only thing worse than giving that coat of many colors was wearing it. It didn't seem to bother Joseph. And, you know, he had these prophetic dreams. He says, one day you're going to bow down to me. Oh, I had another dream. The sun, moon, and 11 stars were bowing down to me. The dreams were of God. Joseph's mistake was telling the dreams.
Yeah.
You know, just because God shows us something doesn't mean we're supposed to tell it to the world. It just makes people jealous.
Boy, that is a dramatic story of resentment and jealousy. To have the whole family resent him and throw him in a pit and then selling him into slavery and forgetting him and telling the father that he had been eaten by a wild animal. You know, that's pretty tough stuff, isn't it? And the Bible does not hide those things. That's
right.
What's amazing to me about Scripture is that it shows the flaws of human nature in every context.
Well, the genius of Joseph is that he totally forgave his brothers for what they did to him. And the day came when those dreams were fulfilled. And he always thought that when the dreams were fulfilled, it would be his chance to say, gotcha, yeah. and just watch those brothers squirm and suffer. But by the time the dreams were fulfilled, it was a new Joseph, and he breaks down
yeah.
and reveals that he loves them and he is totally forgiven.
And he went off alone and wept.
Yeah.
That's very touching considering what they had done to him.
Well, the best way you can deal with jealousy when you're jealous of somebody is to forgive God for letting them be exalted and forgive them for the way they are. And that way you find the inner peace. And when you've got a victory in your heart, you are the real winner.
We haven't talked about Jacob and Esau. I mean, there is jealousy and almost hatred between the two of them.
Well, but Jacob wasn't a very nice guy, was he?
Mm.
He stole the birthright and stole the blessing. And it's enough to make a person jealous. You can be sympathetic a little bit. You can't justify all that followed, and you certainly can't justify what the brothers did to Joseph. But we should, and one of the things I emphasize in the book, part of the reason I wrote the book, is to teach us not to make other people jealous, to be so conscious that we could yeah. make them jealous if we're not careful. And we're responsible to be sensitive to their feelings and do nothing that would cause them to be jealous.
You know, when I was younger, I made that mistake on many occasions, and I had to learn it. We lived in a neighborhood where I was just finishing my PhD at USC, and we were living around people who were working people and those that had not had the advantages that we had had. And we were off to Europe, and I was on national television, and our natural tendency was to say, if you want to watch this afternoon, I'm going to be on the Dinah Shore Show or whatever it was. And one day a woman told Shirley, I am sick unto death of hearing things that your husband is doing. I don't want to hear it anymore. Don't tell us. And I got it. And Shirley got it. And we saw that we were causing this reaction. I thought we were nice people, you know, and people resented it. And some of them were my very close friends from college. And we made a mistake with them, too. And it took us several years to get to the point that we just kept it to ourselves.
But you see, sometimes you can't help it. You take David. He was anointed to be king. And all the other brothers hoped that they would be the ones. But God had David in mind. And then a few days later, Jesse has David go look after the other boys in the battle against Goliath. And Eliab immediately says to David, you conceited thing, we know about you. All David said was, what will happen to the person who kills Goliath? But it shows how these brothers were jealous of David because he had been chosen. David couldn't help that. He did nothing at all to cause it. Or take the account of Jesus himself. Look at the sibling rivalry in his family because his brothers, or half-brothers technically, were jealous of him and made catty comments to say, look, you need to go to Jerusalem. And if you want to be a public figure, you know, go to Jerusalem.
Implying that that was Jesus' motive.
Yeah, yeah. Just making him look bad. What Jesus had done nothing wrong. So there are times people will be jealous of us. We haven't done anything to cause it. So you have to live with that. You can't help it.
And you can't strike back.
No.
And
no,
Jesus
didn't.
Not
a word. Not a word can you say.
Not only should you not do things to cause jealousy, but when you see it, recognize this is human nature and you don't get angry in return.
Yeah, and don't rub their noses in it. You know, if I were in your situation, I think I'd feel much the same way. And that will help you to be sympathetic toward people who are jealous of you.
You have written a book on humility. And that is the corollary of jealousy, isn't it? To be able to say to you who resent me for whatever advantages I might have in life, and treat me in a way that does not aggrandize yourself. That is pleasing to God.
Don't forget that in this book on jealousy, I have a chapter on the jealousy of God. And many people resent that God is a jealous God. And it is well known that the reason Oprah Winfrey rejected her evangelical heritage is when she saw that the God of the Bible is a jealous God. And she says, I cannot accept a God like that. And the funny thing is, I love that about God. I love it that he's jealous. That means he's caring for me, and he wants what is best for me. And I've learned that the more I yield everything to him, the happier I am. And it's because he's a jealous God. We should thank God for being just like he is.
You and I talked about that recently, that God does not want us to be jealous and condemns us when we are. And yet that is one of the hallmarks of his personality.
Exactly.
He is jealous for us.
That's it.
There's a seeming contradiction.
But you
there.
See, he only wants what's best for us.
That's right. And your answer to me was that he also wants to be gloried and honored and aggrandized. Yeah. And he doesn't want us to do that because he's God and we're not.
Well, when he was president, Ronald Reagan had that plaque on his desk that says there's no limit to how far a person can go as long as he doesn't care who gets the credit for it. And you see, God wants all the credit. And so it's part of him being a jealous God. And we must affirm him for being just like that. And he won't let us get the glory. He wants all the glory. That's the way he is. That's the God of the Bible. And we learn to love him for being just like he is.
We're talking to Dr. R.T. Kendall, who's written a wonderful book called Jealousy, the Sin No One Talks About. And there is one more question I have to ask you. When you were dealing in the book with how to handle jealousy and get it under control, you quoted John 5:44.
Yeah. Well, Jim, that has been the verse. It's been my life verse, the verse that I've sought to be governed by above all else. When Jesus asked the Pharisees a question, how can you believe who receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that comes from God only? In other words, you can't. The reason they missed their Messiah is because they were more concerned about what people thought than what God thought. It wasn't even on their radar screen to want the honor that comes from God only. And the bottom line of my book on jealousy, if we will become enamored with the honor that he would give us, his glory, then we will do everything right when it comes to this matter of jealousy, because we're seeking not our glory, our honor. We're not addicted to the opinions of people or their praise, but we want his praise alone.
R.T., I love it when you come to visit us. You stimulate my thinking as much as anybody I know. And we said in the beginning of the first program that you and I bonded together in 1987 when we first met. And it's been a great pleasure having you here today.
Well, you honor me. And I love you very much, and I have prayed for you and Shirley every day for many years, and this will keep up till one of us goes to heaven.
What a gift. And you have had heart surgery, and you're doing great.
Well, my cardiologist says I'll live till I'm 90, so get used to me. I'll be around, and I think you're in pretty good shape, too.
I am very blessed.
We have a lot to be thankful for, but thank you for having me.
We'll have you back.
Well, what an insightful interview we've been listening to these past couple of days here on Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and to learn more about our guest, Dr. R.T. Kendall, visit our broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Once you're there, you'll also find a link that will take you to the place on our website where you can order a physical CD of this two-day program. Simply click on the Order a CD button to get your copy when you go to drjamesdobson.org and then go to our broadcast page. And finally, won't you consider blessing the Ministry of Family Talk with a financial donation? Your generosity allows us to continue supporting families and standing for righteousness in modern culture. You can donate to the mission of Family Talk in a number of different ways. Learn more when you go to drjamesdobson.org. That's drjamesdobson.org. Or you can call 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825. Be sure to join us again next time here on Family Talk for our exclusive conversation with Pastor Andrew Brunson and his wife, Noreen. Pastor Brunson will address the fierce persecution and jail time he experienced in Turkey because of his Christian faith. It's an incredible interview you won't want to miss coming up tomorrow right here on Family Talk.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.